The last couple of weeks, you and I have been studying the Ten Commandments. You could really divide the commandments into two groups. Commandments 1 through 3 talk about our love for God, and 4 through 10 talk about the love we have for our neighbor. So far, we've talked about loving God most of all, second commandment about honoring God's name, and one more way the commandments give us to show our love for God is by honoring God and His Word. Third commandment is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We're setting aside our time for God like we're doing this evening and honoring Him and His Word. What a privilege for you and I as children of God to show that love for God by setting aside our time for Him. He commands us to do so, and it's for our own good. And He also promises that when we do, we will receive His blessings. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, Master Teacher, how precious are the words You speak to us. From the storeroom of Your wisdom You bring us the treasures of Your truth, and chief among these is Your Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, which You revealed to us by Your teaching and life. The words You have taught us, they are spirit and they are life. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have sinned against You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Romans 8, verses 22 to 27. The world that you and I live in is completely affected by sin. As believers, we're waiting for our permanent home in heaven where it's going to be perfect, just like God has promised it would be. While you and I wait, the Holy Spirit is here to strengthen us and help us. And notice also in our reading that He is praying for us. That's what that word intercede means, to pray on behalf of another like we do sometimes for people in the hospital or for surgery. Holy Spirit is interceding for us. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And He who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. Our psalm for this evening is Psalm 19. If you'd like to speak it along with me, please do. The heavens tell about the glory of God. The expanse of the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour out speech. Night after night they display knowledge. They do not speak. They say no words. Their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their word reaches to the end of the world. God has pitched a tent for the sun in the heavens. It comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. It celebrates like a champion who has run his race. It sets out from one end of the heavens. It runs until it reaches the other end. There is nowhere to hide from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. It gives wisdom to the inexperienced. The precepts of the Lord are right. They give joy to the heart. The commandment of the Lord is bright. It gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure. It stands forever. The just decrees of the Lord are truth. They are always right, altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, even better than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the honeycomb. Yes, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can recognize his own errors? Declare me innocent of hidden sins. Restrain your servant also from deliberate sins. Do not let them rule over me. Then I will be blameless. Then I will be innocent of great rebellion. May the speech from my mouth and the thoughts in my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is using more parables here to explain how important our faith is and the blessings of having a strong faith. We need to have that strong faith because Jesus will soon return, and there's only one way to be prepared, and that's with the faith that God places in our hearts. First is the parable of the weeds. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plant sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, tie them in bundles and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" The mustard seed and yeast. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. It is one of the smallest seeds. But when it grows, it is larger than the other plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and mixed into a bushel of flour until the whole batch was leavened. Jesus spoke all these things in parables to the crowds. He did not speak to them without telling a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." And here's Jesus' explanation. Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. God's word for our study and encouragement are the verses of the third commandment. This is from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Dear fellow believers, many years ago, Sunday was a very special day. When I was much younger, as a young boy, there were things that didn't happen on Sunday. Stores weren't open. Businesses weren't open. And because those things were closed, it gave people a chance to be at home. Everyone I knew went to church on Sunday morning when they dressed up and they looked very nice. They stayed for Bible study or Sunday school and then maybe went home and had a big dinner with the family. In the afternoon, instead of cutting the grass or doing something like that, people usually decided that they were just going to hang out together and maybe go visit grandma at the nursing home, things like that, and just make it a special day. It was really a day of rest. There was spiritual rest because people were focusing in on their spiritual life. That's really what the third commandment is about. And there was also physical rest. They were taking a break physically from the daily grind and just relaxing and enjoying family and friends that God had given to them. Obviously, today things have changed. Sunday is not so special to many people anymore. And everything happens on Sunday. Everything. The stores are all open. There's usually sporting events. And even for the kids, there's things going on Sundays. And it takes away from what God really intended in the third commandment. Well, tonight as we study the third commandment, it's really a focus in on our use of God's word. We're to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That means we're setting aside our time for God. What a privilege that you and I, as God's children, can do that. We can set aside our time so that we can worship the Lord. It's God's command to us. There's no options. And when we do, He promises that He's going to give us His blessings. The Sabbath day started in the Old Testament. It was right after the days of creation. God made everything in 6 24-hour days. And then the Bible says that on the seventh day, God rested. Obviously, God didn't need to rest, and He didn't really need 6 days to create everything either. He could have done that in 6 seconds if He wanted to. But notice what He's setting up for us today. 6 days of working or being busy, and then the Sabbath day was really a time for a break in people's lives. If you and I were living in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day would have started at 6 o'clock on Friday night and gone all the way to 6 o'clock on Saturday night. And you got an idea of what the people couldn't do in the Bible reading. There was no working. There was no cooking for the ladies. They made extra food on Friday. There was no traveling. There was no fire building. There was no picking up of sticks. There was no working with your animals. The people virtually could do nothing physical. They just could stay home. Well, that might have seemed like a big problem, but what God was really doing was taking away the things that would make them busy and allowing them to think about God and the promises that God had made. In these Old Testament times, they didn't have a Bible that they could hand out to people and say, read about the plan of salvation. They didn't have those yet. So it was grandparents and it was parents who were talking to the kids and the grandchildren and passing down the message of the Bible, and they needed time to do that. So by establishing the Sabbath day, that's what families did by God's command. They were to set aside that time. They were to remember the Sabbath day, that 24-hour period of time. They were to keep it holy by setting aside their time for God and His Word. And by doing so, they would grow in their faith and in their knowledge about the Bible. That was God's will for those people at that time. Obviously, things have changed today. And the big thing that has changed for us today is that Jesus has come into the world. The Sabbath day was all really a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he came here. The people in the Old Testament rested physically, but what God really wanted to give believers was spiritual rest, which is the forgiveness of our sins. Here's Paul talking about Jesus and what he did. This is in the book of Colossians. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. A lot of those Old Testament rules for the Sabbath day, Paul was telling the Colossian Christians, those don't really apply anymore. It's not a 24-hour period of time. It's not just a way to take a physical rest for their bodies. Jesus had fulfilled all these promises, and now the people were still to honor the third commandment by setting aside their time for him. In the New Testament, God gives us the freedom to decide when we're going to worship the Lord. The early Christian church chose Sunday as the day for worship because that's the day that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. While God gives us the freedom today, we can worship any day that we want. We're here on a Thursday night. We could be here on a Monday or a Saturday. We're here on a Sunday as well as Thursday. The day of the week doesn't matter. What matters is that you and I set aside our time for growing in our faith and honoring the Lord and listening to his word. Here again is the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And this is Martin Luther's explanation from the Catechism. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. So Sabbath day, Sabbath means rest. God still wants us to set aside that rest, that spiritual rest that we need every week. We keep it holy. We set aside our time for it. And whatever day that is, that's what God is asking us and commanding us to do. Martin Luther hits on the sin of the third commandment. He uses the word despise. Despise means that you don't like something. You don't want to see it. You don't want to touch it. If you despise a certain food, you don't want to taste it, you don't want to eat it, you want nothing to do with it. That's what the word despise means. So what Luther is really saying is if you're not going to be connected with God's word and set aside time for him, you're really despising it. So how do you do that? How do you despise God's word? Well, if I have the time to be in church and I just say, I'm not going. I'm passing up that opportunity. I'm despising God's word. I'm replacing it with something else. Maybe I say, I don't have time for God. I didn't set aside my time for him because I'm doing all of these other things, and I didn't set aside my time. I got no time. I can't go to church. Well, then you're despising God's word then too because you're not setting aside a certain time to be and spend with the Lord. Sometimes people can despise God's word even when they're here in church. They just come to show up and they think they're putting in their time, but they don't really have to listen and they don't really have to do anything when they leave. They just go through the motions without really thinking about it. I've seen people in the past in my ministry looking at their cell phone during the sermon, or maybe they're trying to fall asleep on purpose, or maybe they're visiting with their neighbor. They think that just by putting in their time, then they're honoring the third commandment, but they're really not. They're saying, and whatever they're doing, that that particular thing is more important than listening to God and his word. How does God want you and I to live? He doesn't want us to despise his word. Instead, he wants you and I to honor him, to gladly hear his word, and gladly obey the things that God has told us. The Apostle James says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The Bible gives us that kind of encouragement in a lot of different ways. And think of the benefits and the blessings of being here at church. What have we done already tonight? We've confessed our sins, told the Lord that we've repented of them, had that change of heart and mind. And what did we hear? We heard that we are forgiven of all of our sins. And if this was a communion service, we would receive Holy Communion to assure us of our forgiveness and to strengthen our faith. What else do we do here? We listen to God's Word. We're growing as we listen to the readings or as we study the sermon. We're hearing what it is that God has done for us and being guided and directed by the things that He's telling us. What else is happening when we're here? Well, we're not just here for ourselves. We're here to encourage one another. And that's really important. Christians seem to be in the minority these days in a sinful world. It's so important to have each other to lean on, have each other to pray for, and have each other to encourage when we're thinking about living in our Christian life. What else are you and I doing when we're here? We're setting an example for others. You may not talk to some of your neighbors, but when you're in the habit of being in church, they notice things like that. People notice your habits and what you do and you don't do, and you're saying something without saying anything at all. If God and His Word is your habit and your custom, people are going to figure that out. And maybe they're going to realize that it can be important for them as well. Rather than falling into Satan's temptations and despising God's Word, God wants us to see all these benefits and blessings that come from being in His house. Here are a few words of encouragement. Here's the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. The Bereans received the message, God's Word, with great eagerness. They examined the Scriptures every day to see if what the apostles said was true. They were studying it. They were looking at it. They were hearing the apostles and then seeing, this is what God says. This is from the Psalms. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Going to church is not a burden, and we shouldn't think of it that way. Going to church is something we want to do because we realize, again, the blessings that God gives us. And then there's another really important reason why we're here. This is all time sensitive, isn't it? Who knows how many more opportunities we'll have to worship the Lord. Maybe our life will end. Maybe Judgment Day will come. God wants us to be prepared, and the way that you and I are prepared is with our faith. This is from Hebrews 10. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day, Judgment Day, approaching. Do you realize what God is doing for us when we get together to worship? We get to use the Bible. It's His own word. God wrote it. There's no mistakes. There's no issues. It's His truth. God wrote it for us so that you and I would be strengthened and we would have encouragement and guidance in our lives here. God wrote it so that we could share it with others so that they too would understand how important God's Word is in their life. And what a privilege for us. God not only sends Jesus, He not only brings us to faith, He gives us the ways that we need to stay strong in our faith because He knows how difficult earthly life is and how He wants us to hold on to that faith that He's placed into our hearts. As children of God, we want to set aside our time for the Lord. God commands that we do it, but it's not for His benefit, it's for ours. And when we follow His guidelines and use His Word, we receive all these blessings that go along with it. At the end of a calendar year, we have an annual meeting at church, and one of the things that I do on behalf of Emmanuel is I fill out a report that goes into our synod about the statistics for our congregation. And they're asking me things like how many people on average are in church, how many attend Bible study, how many new members are there, all different kinds of things. Well, I fill out that report, and sometimes things are sort of discouraging. Our average attendance last year was like 45% of all the members. Bible study about 10%. Right now we don't have a Sunday school because we can't get enough kids to stay, and it's kind of not working out right now, but we're working on that to fix that. Do you ever get discouraged sometimes like I do that there aren't more people here? I'm sure if I went to Walmart after the service tonight, I'd probably run into somebody that could be here that isn't here. And there are people that come on Sunday, of course, but 45%. It's discouraging. We're living in such a sinful world and we see so many things that maybe we're tempted to just kind of brush it off or get discouraged and stay discouraged or kind of give up and think, well, what's happening? All these negative things are going on in spiritual matters, you could say. Well, it would be easy for me to get discouraged or for you to get discouraged. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to see it as an opportunity. We need to be here. All of our fellow Christians need to be here. And we can pray for that. We can also encourage them when we see them. If I see somebody over at Walmart and I encourage them, people just think that's my job. And it is, but I really do care about them and want them to be here as a fellow Christian. But there's something different about when a fellow Christian encourages them and how important that is. Missed you at church. Love to see you. It's important. This is what God wants us to do. It's not a time to get discouraged. It's a time for you and I to work even harder at our own faith and remaining strong, but also for others to encourage them to do the same. A lot has changed since Sunday 50 years ago when everything was closed, and I still wish that was the case. But we still have God's Word. We still have that need. And we still have Sabbath days, and Thursdays and Sundays. What a privilege for us to set aside our time for the Lord and to receive His blessings. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. For our confession of faith, we'll be using the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We will continue with our prayers. Lord God, we thank You for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and for the many blessings that we have received through His work as our Savior. We thank You that through His perfect life and His obedience to death on the cross, we have been granted cleansing and forgiveness for all of our sin. We thank You that in His resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life, and that in His ascension to Your right hand, we have the assurance that He continually watches out over us and prays for us. Father, help us believe and trust in Him, to love and serve Him, that in all of our thoughts, words, and actions, we may follow His example. Rebuke our selfishness and subdue us when we fall into sin. Deepen the sympathies that we have for others, strengthen our own hope, and make our faith stronger each day. Lord, dwell in the homes of our congregation, and let the trust of our families be centered in You alone. Allow no difficulty, no trial, no adversity to rob us of the conviction that You are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of those who are weary or sick. Dry the tears of the troubled and the sorrowful. Lead them to look to You as the unfailing source of healing and hope. All these things we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.